You know, God says he can give nothing to a double-souled, S-O-U-L-E-D, person. To be double-minded or double-souled means there is actually a spirit, almost certainly there's going to be a spirit of hate involved with this being double-minded, being like almost two people in one body, okay? And what happens when you hate someone or you think you, when the enemy provokes you and sets you up to hate someone, and there's very few people that I know who haven't said at some time in their life, I hate you, or, you know, or I hate myself, I wish I was somebody else, or, you know, so, which isn't normal. We're not born to think like that. God says in his word that a husband should love his wife the way he loves his own self. So we are supposed to love ourselves. The Bible says we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. There's the understanding and truth that people should love themselves. So Satan hates that. So he begins to attack that at a very, very early age, many times even when you are in the womb. He begins to attack that you should love yourself. And so it's painful to hate. Everyone knows, because of a conscience and because we're made in the image of God, everyone knows that hate is wrong. Everyone, even before the Holy Spirit lives in you, you know that hate is wrong. You may not know what to do with it, but you know that it's wrong. And you certainly feel that it's wrong when it's aimed at people who you're supposed to love and that other people would love. So a parent, a sister, a brother, you know, anyone in your life that should be a person to give you unconditional love and you give them unconditional love, a child. So the enemy's going to really attack those relationships. I believe Satan gets most of his leverage to destroy us, to give us disease, sickness, to bring us into any kind of bondage, to cause all kinds of relationship problems, to cause us to want to be someone else, to feel inferior, superior. I believe all of it probably goes back to that hate. And wherever there's hate, that is almost like the seed of bitterness. That is like where that bitterness is a root of evil, and there's a seed, there's something that's done and put inside of your soul that begins to go down deep inside of you and cause bitterness. And bitterness, we talked about, it always goes back to God. Why did you put me in this family? Why did you let this happen to me? Why are they treating me like this? Why did you make me like this? So bitterness is such a root of evil because it actually goes back and it twists the way you see God. It twists the way you understand God. It perverts your understanding of who you are, of who God is, of who other people are. It's a real spirit that perverts everything and twists it so that you think more like the enemy than you do God. You see things the way the enemy wants you to see things instead of the way God has created things, which is the clear way to really see things. So the enemy's going to attack all of us with this. Now, some of us, as we've walked with the Lord, we've seen it, we've really dealt with it, and it's really been changed, and our heart has really changed. And if there's areas where there's still such conflict between you and somebody else in your family or relationship, there could be hidden hate there. And you can take on hate even after you've been a believer. You could take on hate if you get married and you aren't used to some of the things your mate is dealing with, and things that are what you were perceiving this should be like. And you could have that hurt little place in you that just wants to hate people when they don't do what you want. And how many have been tempted to say, I hate you, even as adults? How many are tempted, especially with your spouse? Sometimes it's just when they reject you, or there's a spirit of rejection that comes at you. When you get rejected, and a rejection is like, you're not worth the time, I don't care what you have to say, you're not important. Just that feeling that to demean you and make you feel like nothing. The response the enemy really tries to bring up in us, and really our flesh gives into, is, I hate you. And you've got to stop that. You've got to realize, no, I don't. I hate you, devil, for doing this. I hate you, devil, for what you've done in that person's life to cause them to be a participant in this rejection or this hurt. But I am not letting hate in. I believe one of the most the biggest victory of the cross was that when everyone turned on Jesus and pretty much everyone hated him and everyone despised him and everyone rejected him. The Bible says he was the most despised and rejected among people ever. And that's what the teaching we were talking about, self-rejection, is about, that he endured that and he did not let that in his heart. And on the cross, when he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Well, they knew what they were doing in the natural. They knew, "We're killing this guy. We're asking the authorities to kill this guy. We want him out of the picture." They knew that they were torturing him. They knew that they were beating him. They knew that they were yelling for it and watching it in some perverted way, enjoying it. But what they didn't know was the spirits behind it. They didn't know how Satan was using them and twisting things and causing them to be stirred to hate. So when he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what I'm doing." I'm telling you, that is the key. That is the key for us to release true forgiveness. That's the key for us to not let evil in our hearts, even as adults now. So when we have a child that's acting just hateful, or a friend or a spouse or anyone, grandchild, whatever, and that hate is coming at you, that spirit of rejection is coming at you, you need to recognize, "Lord, I forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand where that's coming from. They don't understand generational curses. They don't understand what Satan is up to." That is the answer, and it's got to come from a heart that really believes that there are spiritual things that are going on that people, without Christ and without the leading of the Holy Spirit, don't understand. So you can say that without it being a lie, right? So you can go to the place to forgive yourself by recognizing, "I didn't know. I forgive myself. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing when I chose to take in that thing to hate my mother or hate my father or hate my sister or hate my brother." It can be very closely tied to jealousy. We're not going to talk about that tonight, but all these things kind of come in together. They're like a swarm. Ooh, let's get all this in, all right? So truthfully, we can forgive ourselves. How many now can honestly say, as a Christian who's had this deeper teaching, who wants to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, who understands what Christ has really done for me, could really say, "I know how now to not let hate get in my heart"? How many know without the truth to set you free, you really don't know that? You know, people make up these little cliches. "Well, I can love you, but I don't like you." No, that's not true. You know, you're just making up. You're saying that you love me, but you've let hate in or you've let hurt in. And the truth is, you don't understand the deeper place in God where you can honestly say with complete sincerity, "Father, I forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And Satan, I do see in the spirit, because I know God now. I understand the things of the spirit. God's teaching me his ways, and you have no authority here." And how many knows it takes some real warfare, even as mature believers, if you're rejected or somebody talks bad about you or somebody attacks or hurts someone you love. I mean, you have to rise up above that flesh, get your spirit in charge, and really say, "No, I recognize this is a trick of the enemy. He has no authority. I'm not letting that lie into my heart. I cancel his assignment, and I bless this person who's hurting me. In the name of Jesus, I bless them. I ask the Lord to bless them." And these things that God has taught us in his word, to bless those who despitefully use you, to bless them and not curse them, that is actually warfare. That is actually warfare where you choose blessing like Jesus blessed us instead of cursing them. Cursing them is coming in agreement with the enemy against someone and releasing hate, releasing violence, releasing these horrible things. And how many know, I hope you know, it really, if you just act like you do that so easy, I'm telling you, you're just got pretended faith and you got pretended love and you're just got a hyper spirit and you really don't understand that this is, Paul says we die daily. That Jesus sat in the cross, in the garden and struggled with what he was going to have to go through and pay to redeem us, because it was going to be so horrific. Letting all that hate come into him, letting all that sin and all that perversion and all that thing just take him, and letting Satan rule over him. Ugh. I mean, the thought of God allowing Satan to rule over him for that short season, but still, as the only way to pay for our rebellion, the only way to pay for our sin, the only way to pay for the hate that was in our heart to set us free from it. It's a big thing, this cross. What Christ went through is a gigantic thing. And I think we hardly understand it in the body of Christ. But if you begin to understand healing the brokenhearted places and being set free in true deliverance, you understand the cross. I could not get healed here if he had not paid for it. I could not get these spirits out of me, this hate out of me, make this real and my heart free if he had not gone and taken that penalty for it. He paid to set us free. So I want to walk into that freedom that he paid for. I want to walk into it. I want to help you walk into it. I want people to live in that freedom. It's great to be free, but isn't it awesome to give him what he paid for? That he didn't waste his time and go through all that for nothing? So my thing is, Lord, at least as far as I'm concerned, thank you, 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 thank you. And I'm going to live in that reality of what you've done. And I am going to discipline myself to do things your way, even when my flesh might not understand it or agree yet. And that's becoming a doer of the word, not a hearer only. I was talking with someone, as God's been putting this in my spirit all week to minister this. And only the Holy Spirit can bring you right to those places where people were hurt. It's the gift of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Gift of knowledge is knowing things you wouldn't normally know, but the Holy Spirit knows it. And the word of knowledge is the Holy Spirit using the gift where he'll bring Jesus into it to bring healing to that area. And sometimes there's faith involved in healing and other discerning of spirits, like what's really operating. Is this a hurt place in someone or is this a spirit? As I've ministered to people for healing those hurt places, we've got to let the Holy Spirit take us back. He's the one who knows what hurt place he's healing when. I mean, when the Lord shows me something, he shows me something. I can minister so quickly when the Lord says, do this. I called somebody this week and I said, Lord, show me a healing for you. You know, when you get a chance, come in. And, you know, they came in and it was like, wham, we went right at it. And other people come in and just stare at me, look at me. I wanted to talk to you. It's like, I can't make this up, you know. When the Holy Spirit shows me, so I promise you this, I will, if the Holy Spirit shows me something for any of you, I'm going to be obedient and minister it to you. And it doesn't mean you can't come and share as the Holy Spirit, as you feel led to share, the Holy Spirit, how do you feel led to share? But this is about you. Let God deal with those areas, deal with those areas, deal with those areas as we all come together, as you listen to the teaching, as you spend time with him, just let him just get rid of whatever needs to be gotten rid of. And then tonight, when we do this healing of the brokenhearted place of the hurt you that has hate hidden under there, and you may not know it's there, but let me tell you, some of the indicators that there's a spirit of hate, contempt. You treat that person, especially if it's your spouse or maybe a child or a parent, you treat that person as if it's like a love-hate kind of thing. It's like a oh, I just love you and you talk, and then it's like, you know, or you just kind of want them away from you. Or you think if they would just change, everything would be okay. And so it's this pushing away kind of thing, but then this pulling too, which is the entanglement. Because, you know, it's wrong to push that person. It's wrong to push your spouse away. It's wrong to push your child away. It's wrong to push your parent away. So it's that push away and then that pull. It's that love-hate kind of relationship. I mean, Hollywood likes to make that look like love, and it's just dysfunction, you know. That love isn't real love. That love is, I need to feel better about myself. I need to treat you better. And I don't want to be like this. And then, oh, but I don't want to be like this. I want to treat you better. I should, you know. And it's very confusing. And then when we put God in the middle of it and hyper-spiritualize everything, then you really cause your children to not want God. If this is what God acts like, forget it. If this is as much as prayer does, I'm not interested in it. So hyper-spiritualizing to hide that hate and to try to solve problems with pretended faith, it just makes such a big mess. God's bigger than that mess. God can clean up that mess. But you've actually caused your children to think there's really no hope. And so you just got to pray for them and get free and pray for them for it to break through. And they really want a relationship with the living God, even if you didn't have the one you tried to represent. Okay. One of the other things that will help you know if maybe there's hidden hate. Some of you say, mine's not even hidden. Okay, well, good. That'll be easy to get to yours. But for those who have hidden hate, One of the things that could be there is you're like two different people. Maybe on the job, everybody thinks you're wonderful. Everybody, you know, maybe you really represent Christ on the job, but at home you scream and yell, and there's a lot of secrecy usually tied in. It's almost like, look, this is just our family thing. Don't let anybody know this. It's a lot of secrecy because we don't want to blow the image of this person they see at church or this person they see at work. So there's a lot of secrecy in there, okay? It's a lot of secrecy that is like the kind of the entanglement, that the love, hate, the push away, pull. And eventually, if you don't let God really get in there, especially if it's between you and your children or you and a spouse, they're going to walk away. It's like, I can't take this anymore. It's too confusing. And you've got a lot of parents who do not have real contact with their children. You have a lot of parents who have no real relationship with their own children. Sad. Here, God wanted children so much that Christ had to come and die for us to make a way for us to be in his family because of our sin. And yet we grow up and have no relationship with our own children. And we need to deal with that. We need to let God bring healing there, deliverance there. But you need to, first of all, the Bible in the scriptures, it says, confess your sins one to another, and then he's faithful and just to forgive all sin. Well, it's like, well, why would I have to confess it to somebody? I believe the sins that you have to confess to get free from are the sins that bind you to shame and secrecy. Sins that bind you to shame and secrecy. Those spirits, those still have power in your life until you break through and confess them to someone. The confessing them breaks the secrecy. I'm not saying go and put it on the radio. God only makes me do that, but no. But you know, you need to find, and let me say, don't confess it to somebody who's just as messed up as you and gonna agree against the other person and point the finger there. Okay, you need someone that it will humble you to go and confess it to. There are people, I'm only going to tell it to my wife. I'm only going to tell it to this person. And usually there's an entanglement and soul tie there. Okay, no, you're going to tell it to whoever God says you're going to tell it to. It's going to be probably the last person in the world you maybe want to tell. Maybe not the last person, but it's like, oh, that would be humbling. Oh, what a concept. God's into humbling. Humbling is breaking your independent, doing it your own way, standing your own ground spirit that you've taken on to deal with life. The key is you want to confess it to someone that Holy Spirit leads you to, who can bring clarity and direction to it and help you really get to it, not just by saying it out of your mouth and then it, you know, possibly could become gossip or just something this person knows. And it's not to make the other person uncomfortable. So make sure this person knows, hey, I'm here to get some things off of my heart that I need to deal with. Are you up? Are you okay with that? Don't just go and dump stuff on people who aren't even trying to minister